Today's shiur in Sefer Avos with Daf Kuf Chav Dalet. We will begin on Daf Kuf Chav Dalet. I'm in Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Our Gemara continues to analyze the various halachas that were mentioned in the Brice that we began to learn at the end of the previous shiur that speak about under what circumstances a Bechor gets double portion, under what circumstances he does not. Says the Gemara, quoting the Brisa, "Heniel kamavi and paramukkeres umeskeres biyadacherim." If the father left him a cow, which was rented to someone else, as we discussed in the previous year, the Rishonim debate the difference in definition in the word mukkeres umeskeres. One way is that the difference is if it's being paid in cash, the rental fee, or it's being paid in different medium. Or another nafkamina is if it's being paid a fixed price versus a commission, a percentage. Or the animal wasn't rented out, rather it's grazing in an open area. V'yolder, and now it has a child, it has a baby. Bechor, not by pishnayim. The halacha is that the bechor gets in these benefits double. Ask the Gemara. In the situation where the animal was rented out, the labor shus the mar the du kaima, which the animal is not in the possession of the yorshim, yet says the brisa amrit shakel that the bechor is entitled to a double portion. So in the situation that roy by ephra, where the animal is in the possession of the owner of the yarshim, miboye, so should there be any question that certainly it's certainly more muchsik, because as we have been learning, a bechor is only entitled to a double portion, and what was muchsik, and what was in the hands of the father when he passed away. So if in a case where the animal is not in the rishus, still, the halacha is that the Bechor gets a double portion. Certainly, when it's Din Rishus, shouldn't he be entitled to a double portion? Answers the Gemara. What the Brice is calling to teach us is Hakamashmon, the Mechkeres Umuskeres, that the situation of when the animal was rented out should be considered like Roy Be'efer. Ma Roy Be'efer. If the animal is grazing, and they have no need to invest in the animal, because the animal is grazing in open, unowned area. That's why it's shifchad memelakasi. So the animal is getting bigger and fatter and more valuable without any investment. Therefore, the halacha is that the bechor is entitled to a double portion, because like kachasri b'mezayna, they have no investment necessary, and that's why the Bechor is entitled to a double portion. Similarly, af mukeres umuskeres, even if the animal is rented out, but since they don't need to invest anything in the animal, because the animal is getting fatter without them doing anything, it's the renter who's doing all of the work, so it too is a situation of shifchad memeila kasi, that it's happening automatically. The lechaser memezayne, they have no investment needed. They don't have to spend for the food for the animal. And therefore, the halacha is that the bechor will get a double portion. So as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, what the Gemara is teaching us is that both the situation of mukeres and muskeres and roy be'efer are situations where the bechor is entitled to double portion, because there's no expenditure, no investment needed by the Yarshim. So Tosfos, Rashbam, and Tosfos, and many other Rishonim discuss, why does the Gemara have to speak about both the case of Roy Be'efer and Mukeres and Muskeres to teach us the same concept? So Ritva takes an approach that the halacha Mukeres and Muskeres and Roy Be'efer are not exactly identical. Because when we say Roy Be'efer, the Bechor is entitled to a double portion, says the Ritva, only in the Velodis, only in the children of this animal. whereas by Muchkeres and Muskeres, the Bechor is entitled to a double portion in the animal itself. So since the halacha is different in the two situations, it's obvious why the Brice had to mention the two situations. However, it seems that most Rishonim don't agree, and that they say that the halacha by Roy Be'efer and Muchkeres and Muskeres is the exact same. And we come back to our question. If the halacha in both situations is identical, why does the Brice have to mention both cases? So Rishonim explained the Gemara in the following. There's a chiddush in every situation. Because Roya Be'efer, we're learning, it's only if they're not, as the Gemara told us explicitly, not spending any money, not spending any resources on feeding the animal. But if the Yarshim were to feed the animal, so then everybody would agree that the Bechor doesn't get a double portion. By Muchkeres and Muskeres, money is being spent to feed the animal. It's just not money of the Yarshim. It's money of the renter. And therefore, since these two situations are so very different, here money is being spent. And the chiddush is that even though money is being spent, since it's not their money, that's why the Bechor gets a double portion. By Roya Be'efer, the halach, however, is it has to be a situation where they're not spending any money on feeding the animal. So each case comes with its own unique set of circumstances, and therefore the Gemara had to mention both situations. Tosfos asks another question. According to the way the Gemara just explained, in a situation of Roy Be'efer, where the father left them an animal that's grazing, but they're spending money on feeding the animal, so now we learned that then the Bechor would not get a double portion. So ask Tosfos, in the previous year when we learned the Brisa gave an example when the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion. In a situation where the father left him a piece of property, and after the father died, they built on that piece of property a house. There he's not entitled to a double portion. Ask Tosfos, instead of the Brisa giving us that example where the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion, the Brisa could have given us a simpler example. The Brice could have told us that the animal is Roya Be'efer, but they're supporting it, they're paying for its food. Why bring in a new case altogether? So Tosfos answers, because the Brice wants to teach us a chiddush. We would think that in a case where a house was built on property, the property is still the same property. And since the property is still the same property that was there when the father died, then the Bechor should be entitled to a double portion. Teaches us the Gemara that if the property didn't have a house on it when the father died, and now a house is built on it, it's not viewed as the same piece of property, and that's why the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion. Says the Gemara, and to focus on what we're going to do now in the shiur. We've been learning a halacha that we're very familiar with, that a Bechor is not entitled to his double portion b'muchsik, b'roy, only b'muchsik. Actually, I saw an interesting vart from the Arizal. If you recall, I think I already said the vart, that the Mefarshim explained that in the word Bechor, there is a raya that a Bechor is entitled to a double portion. Because Beis, well, how is a Bechor spelled? In the Torah, Bechor is spelled Beis Chof Resh. Beis is double of the letter before it. Beis is double the letter Aleph. Chof is double the letter before it, it's double Yud. And Reish is double the letter before it, Kuf. So Raya, that somebody's a Bechor, gets double. But the Arizal adds a Knech. He says, not only is it double the letter, a letter, but it's double the letter right next to it. To teach us, when does a Bechor get double? Something that's right available to him. Muchsik, that the father had when he died. But if the father didn't have it when he died, it's further away, it's only Roy, then you don't get a double portion. Rizal's Vart. But back to our Gemara. So everybody agrees to that halacha, that a Bechor is only entitled to a double portion in Muchsik, not Roy. However, as we've been learning a Braisa, the Braisa sort of qualifies that and says that we would assume that what is the definition of Roy and what is the definition of Muchsik, and we're still going to discuss this at length as we get deeper into the Shiurim, is that Muhsik means that anything that the father actually had when he passed away. Roy is that he didn't have it when he passed away. Comes the Braisa and expands the definition of muhsik, that even if he didn't physically have it when he passed away, it still could be in the category of muhsik. So ask the Gemara, Mani, whose opinion does this Braisa represent that has a broader definition of the word muhsik? Says the Gemara, it represents the opinion of Rebbe E. The Tanya, Eintent Bechor, Neutel Pishnayim, Bishvach Shoshach Nechosim Lach Misavim. The Chomim's opinion is that if it wasn't there when the father passed away, the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion. Rebbe, however, says, Oymer Ani. I saw that the Mepharshim explained, what is this language? The Rebbe says, Oymer Ani. It's a beautiful pshat. We know that Rebbe was the one that compiled the Mishnayis. What do Mishnayis represent? Mishnayis represent opinions that Rebbe keeps on bringing down, the opinion of all Tanon. Here we find a situation where Rebbe is not quoting somebody else. He's saying his own opinion. So Rebbe's saying, even though usually, what do? I bring down other people's opinion. Here it's not somebody else's opinion that I'm going to say. I'm going to say my own opinion. Oymer Ani. You know what my opinion is? If it automatically got better without any effort, investment by the Yisoymim, even though it only accrued a value after the death of the father, there the Bechor is entitled to a double portion. But if they had to make an investment, like the case that we began to shear with, where they had to feed the animal, there is not entitled to double portion. And I saw that the Achronim say beautiful pshat and understanding the Gemara. They say as follows. We need to understand when a person passes away and the Yorshim now are going to divide up the estate. Why is it not considered as if it's automatically divided? They might not have physically divided it. They have to sit shiva, they're busy with other things, but automatically it's divided amongst the Yarshim. The answer is, because in Halacha, there's a new concept. It's called Tfusas Habayis. What does Tfusas Habayis mean? Tfusas Habayis means that when the father passes away and the Yerusha isn't yet divided, there's sort of a new corporation that's formed. Who is this corporation? The corporation are all the brothers who are the potential Yarshim. When the Torah teaches us that a Bechor is entitled to a double portion, he's only entitled to a double portion in Yerusha. He's not entitled to a double portion in Tfusas Habayis. So, how do we determine if what he's getting is Yerusha or if he's getting Tfusas Habayis? So Rebbe says, I have a very easy way of testing it. If nothing had to be done, if no investment had to be made, it just went on its own, that's called Yerusha. And it could be Yerusha like that for many, many years. In other words, let's say that the father left the building. And the arrangement he had with the building was that he had no expenses on the building. The tenants have to pay for all the expenses on the building, and the estate gets a check every month of the rent. So there's no Tfusas Habayis. There's no need to form a corporation to take care of the house, to manage this piece of property. So this could go on for many years, says Rebbe, but it won't be considered Tfusas Habayis because they didn't need to get involved and create this new entity called Tfusas Habayis. But if, on the other hand, they had to get involved, whether it's to pay bills or to take care of the property, so a new entity was formed, the Tfusas Habayis. The Bechor is not entitled to a double portion of Tfusas Habayis. Continues the Gemara, Shtar Chayiv, Bechor Neitel Pishnayim. If the father passed away, and somebody owed the father money, you don't need to do anything, you just have to collect the money. So since Rebbe's opinion is, that even if the father didn't physically have it when he passed away, but they didn't need to do anything with it, the Bechor is entitled to a double portion. So that's why Rebbe's opinion is that if the father passed away and he left over receivables, the Bechor is entitled to a double portion. Machloikas Rishonim, what happens if the father left over receivables, but they weren't shtar chayv, they weren't written, they were chayv espalpeh? Will the same then apply? So I actually saw three opinions in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, Rashbam, that it's only shtar chayv that's written. That's considered as if the father already had it, that their Rebbe will say that the Bechor is entitled to a double portion. Something that's only a choy bal peh is not entitled to a double portion. That's some Rishonim. Other Rishonim say, what's the difference? A choy is a choy. The father is entitled to the money. The estate is entitled to the money. They don't need to do anything in terms of an investment in the money. And the Bechor is entitled to a double portion. Ritva has a very interesting approach. Ritva's approach is as follows. He says like this. We know the halacha is, that if somebody is owed money, and it's not b'ksav, it's only balpeh, so the halacha is as follows. If you owe me money, and there's no shtar, and it's already after the due date, and you say parati, that I paid you up, you're neman, you're believed. But let's say it's before the due date, you're not neman. Why? The Gemara says a fact of life. People don't pay up their debts early. So he says, if it's a shtar bal peh, but the due date has not yet come, so that's a chayv that they're going to be able to collect. Since it's a chayv that they're going to be able to collect, the halach is that it's treated like any other chayv, like a shtar b'ksav, and he's entitled to a double portion. But if it's a chayv bal peh, that's past the due date, well, we just said that the loiva would be nemo, would be believed to say parati, so his chance of collection diminishes, and since his chance of collection diminishes, he's not nemo to say, he's not going to get a double portion. Furthermore, says the Braisa, says the Gemara, Yotzalim Star Chayv, let's say the father left payables that he has to pay, so the halach is, B'chon Noisim Pishnayim, he has to give double. So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, if a Bechor is going to collect double, he has to pay double. There is one opinion in the Rishonim, a very interesting opinion, it's not the halacha, but I'll cite it anyway, that says as follows. Let's say the father left over an estate, but nobody owed the father any money. So there were assets, and the Bechor did get Pishnayim, but those assets did not include receivables. But the father had payables. There the Bechor won't have to pay double. When does the Bechor pay double? If there were receivables, so if you want to get doubles in the receivable, you have to be able to give double in the payables. But if there weren't receivables, it's only if receivables and payables travel together. There's also an interesting shuva from the Noid of Yehuda. The Noid of Yehuda says the following scenario. He says, what would be the halacha if the father left over assets that are muchsik, and he left over assets that are roi? Roi that everybody agrees that they're considered roi. In Muchsik, the Bechor gets Pishnayim. In Roy, he doesn't. So when it comes to pay the father's payables, we have to calculate his estate according to that formula. He won't have to pay just double. He'll only pay double according to the percentage which was Muchsik. Neither be Yehuda's Vart. However, says the Gemara, a Bechor has a right to say, Vem Amar Eini Noisin Veini Noitel. If the Bechor says, I don't want to pay, and I won't get a double portion, the halach is Rishay. He has every right. So the Meiri, Nachsam Sofer, explained the Gemara this concept that we learned that the Bechor, if he wants to get double in the assets, has to be ready to pay double. How do they explain it? The Meiri explains, Avadi has to pay. If you're getting double, you have to pay double. It's obvious. So Meiri teaches us, says the Gemara is teaching us a very important concept in understanding what is the Bechor's share in the Yerusha. The Meiri says, the way to understand a Bechor is not to understand that the Torah gave him a gift. That, let's say, a father left over whatever number of sons. And one of those sons was a Bechor. That Bechor would get a gift. He's getting an extra portion. The Torah looks at it, like, let's say he left over three sons, and one of them is a Bechor, That he didn't leave over three sons, he left over four sons. And therefore, if he left over four sons, none of them were Bechor, it would be very obvious that if there were payables, they all have to share in the payable. The Bechor is like two sons, and he has to pay what two sons would have to pay. And actually, I saw a raya pidrush to the svart. The Torah, after the death of Nadav and Avihu, speaks to Aaron, and Hashem calls Elazar v'Isamar Bonov Hanoisorim. In Mitzvah Hashem, when we're going to learn the Kachim Masechta Zvachim Menachos, we're going to see that the Gemara teaches us that the definition of the word Noiser is leftover, but it's less than what you, that the leftover is the smaller share of what you started with. But how, so ask from Shlomo Kluger, how can we call Elazar v'Isamar Noisorim? Aaron started with four sons. He's left with two sons. So it's equal. So the word Nosarim is inappropriate. Says Rish Lama Kluger, Nadav was a Bechor. And we're learning now that a Bechor is not to be viewed as a son that's getting extra. A Bechor is viewed as two sons. So how many sons did Aaron really have? Five. Nadav is considered two, and Avihu Elazar v'Isamar. So now we could use the word Nosarim and Elazar v'Isamar, because they're two out of five. And that's why the Bechor has to pay a double portion. But, teaches us the Gemara, he has a right to say, I don't want to pay extra, and I won't get my Bechor. Why? Because as we're going to learn, it's a gift, this extra portion, and you always have a right to say, I don't want a gift. And as the Mefarshim point out, there's a fundamental difference in halacha between the chelik that a Bechor gets, the extra portion a Bechor gets, versus the Yerusha that somebody else gets. A Yerusha, you can't say, I don't want the Yerusha. You could get it and then be maskrit. You could get it and give it away. But you can't say, I'm not taking it. The Torah gives it to you. Bechayra, the Chelk Bechayra is different. Why would somebody want to do this? Why would somebody say, I don't want to take the extra share? So Mefarshim paint a number of scenarios where and why a Bechayra would want to do this. One situation is that even though the halacha is that Yisoimim are obligated to pay their father's debt, if it's b'ksav, if it's a written obligation, it requires a din Torah. It requires them, the loiva, to bring those Yisoimim to Bezdin. So let's say this Bechor brothers are not here. Or let's say this Bechor's brothers are ketanim. So even if they're here, they can't be taken to Bezdin. So if the Yerush is by them, they won't have to pay the debt. But he's here, and he's a gadol. So it's to his benefit, and I'm not condoning this, and it's to his benefit, he's not interested in having this debt paid. So what does he do? He says, I'm not taking an extra share. You'd only get from me one share, not two portions. Or another example the Rishonim give, fairly simple example, is that the Bechor has his own chayvus. And whatever he yashins, he's going to end up paying away to the people he owes money. He doesn't want to pay. Again, I'm not condoning it. So how does he get out of paying what he has to? He says, the more I yashin, the more I'm just going to have to pay away. So I'm willing to take a smaller Yerusha and not pay my debts. However, the Rabbanan, as we said, take a very limited view in Roy and Muchsik. And Rabbanan's opinion is that Muchsik means that the father actually had it when he died. Anything else is considered Roy. Ask them, Ramai Tamai, the Rabbanan. Amakra, losses like Pishnayim. Matana Kayi Rechmana. The Torah calls what a Bechor receives a Matana. Ma Matana ad matil yode. A Matana is only what's actually physically given. Afchel Bechor ad matil yode. Anything else that can't be actually given is not subject to the halacha of Bechor. The Rishonim have two ways of viewing this Gemara. One way of viewing the Gemara is viewing it is from the Noisin side. The Noisin, that means the person who passed away, is giving a Yerusha, but only what he physically is able to, now he can't give anything, he's not alive, but what is here to be physically given, anything that's not physically here is not subject to the Bechor. Others say we look at it from the Makabel side. The Bechor is only going to get something that he can actually hold on to when the father passes away. Anything that the father physically doesn't have at that moment is not subject to the Hilchos Bechor. The Rebbe, how will Rebbe defend his opinion? The Rebbe has a much broader definition of what the Bechor is entitled to get Pishnayim in. Rabbi Omer, Amakra, Pishnayim. Makash Chelik Bechor L'Chelik Pashat. The Torah compares the two. Machelik Pashat. Avgav D'Loimata L'Yodei. Even though by the state, the Yorshim are entitled to everything that the estate has, even if it's not physically here when the father dies. If money accrues to the state after the passing of the father, there's certainly the Yorshim for that. Afchel b'chayra, afgav d'loy matalayadeh, even though it's not physically here, is entitled to it. V'rabbanan nami, ask the Gemara, the Rabbanan nami, what were they going to do with the pasuk that Rebbe uses, that teaches us pishnayim? Answered the Gemara, ha'hula meisav lei achad matzra. Which means as follows. We'll learn a simple situation. The father passed away. He left two sons and three fields. And the Torah is teaching us that now the two brothers are coming to divide the two fields, and one brother is a Bechor. That the brother can't tell the Bechor, you take the two outer fields, and I'll take the middle field. Rather, the Bechor is entitled to get the two fields that are next to each other. So Mefarshim asks, we don't need a pasuk for that. We've learned the concept, we've encountered this concept many times, of koifin al midas sadoim. We don't allow people to act not nicely. So here, the brother, of course the brother can't tell the other brother that you take the two side fields and I'll take the middle field. That's midas sadoim to act that way. So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer to the question is as follows. Koifin, simple terence. Kaifel Midas Sadoim is not a din in the Torah. It's the way the Chazal wants us to act. The way the Halacha wants us to act. Here it's mandated by the Pasuk. Simple Teretz. Another Teretz is as follows. I have to make a little more complicated case. Let's say the father left three brothers, three sons, and four fields. And two of the brothers, not the Bechor, the two other brothers, form a partnership. So they say, we want to have our fields next to each other because we're partners. So now the question is, we have two people with competing interests. They have the partnership, the two brothers, and we have the Bechor who's getting two fields. So who are we going to paskin like? So Kaifan and Midas Sadoim will not help us here because both of them have a reason to want to have the fields next to each other. Teaches us the halacha that the brother who's the Bechor is entitled to first choice of having fields next to each other. Then I saw another interesting machlokes rishonim. How far this pasuk goes. Let's say the father left three fields. But two fields are beninus, and one field is idyus. Two fields are average, and one field is excellent. So, the right way to do it would be to give the two beninus fields to one person, and the idyus field to the third person. But what would happen then is, let's say the Bechor gets the two Beninus fields, he's going to end up with two fields not next to each other. Suggest some Rishonim. So here you can't apply Kaifin al Midas Sadoim. Because Kaifin al Midas Sadoim is only when all things are equal. Here it's not all things being equal. Some Rishonim learn that what the Pasuk is teaching us, Machlokes Rosh and Rimigash, that what we'll do is give the Bechor the Beninus and Idyus field and tell the other brother, you take the Beninus field, one Beninus field, and that the Bechor should compensate you for what the differential is, just because we're so interested that the Bechor should get two fields and two fields next to each other. That's how far the Pasuk is teaching us. Continues the Gemara. V'Rebbe Nemi Haksiv Losseis. What's Rebbe going to do with that Pasuk? Says the Gemara, who to teach us the din that we just taught, that we just learned, Shem Omar, that if the Bechor has a right to say, Eini Noito, Veini Noisim. I'm not going to take my extra share, and say if I don't take my extra share, I don't have to pay an extra share of payables. Moshe has a right to say it. Says the Gemara, Omra Papa, Diklava Olam, if you have a tree that the father left, and it got thicker after the passing of the father, Ara, or his father left property, Vasik Sertin, and it got more fertile, certainly means sediment, it got more fertile after the father passed away. There the kulam loipig the shakal. Everybody agrees that this is the same piece of property, and therefore the Bechor is entitled to double portion. Ki pligi, where will there be a machloikis between the Chachomim and Rebbe? Bechafura, v'aveshofli. In a situation where the father left them grass, but now developed into hay, shlufufi v'avetamri, or turned into fruit. The mass of a shivcha de memela, or mass of a ishtani. Rebbe will hold that the Bechor is entitled to a double portion, and the Chacham will hold that he is not entitled to a double portion in this. And the way Rav Chaim Brisker explains this Gemara is as follows. Rav Chaim Brisker says as follows. We have to look at the article that was left. Is it still the same article, just became bigger? And therefore, Rebbe will say that he's that it's not considered Roy. But the Chacham say, if there's any change, it's not the one with the father left. If there's a change, it's not what the father left. And if it's not what the father left, you're only entitled to get Pishnayim and what the father actually left when he passed away. So we have here, as we've been learning, Baruch Hashem, a very fundamental machloikis between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe is much more pro-Bechor, so to speak. So now, what is the halacha? Amar Rabbah b'Bachana, Amar Rabchia, Asa k'divri Rebbe, Asa k'divri Chacham Asa. Which means as follows, as the Rashbam explains. If a dayan paskins the wrong way, we're going to learn him in Tishem Sekhel Sanhedrin, Tobit va Mishnah, if a dayan makes a mistake in an open halacha in a Mishnah, he has to chayzer, has to overturn his psak. So let's say a dayan paskins here like Rebbe. And everybody comes and says, how can you pass like Rebbe? You're supposed to pass like the Rabbanan. Or vice versa, pass like the Rabbanan. They say, but what about Rebbe? Here, whatever psak he makes is considered a valid psak, and therefore it's not considered Tavid Vamishnah, and the psak will stand. However, Rabbi Chanan says, beautiful pshat in the Gemara. Rabbi Chanan says, that what does the Gemara mean? And we're going to discuss more what the terms of this Gemara are. That also could be Rebbe also could be Chacham Masa. Says Rabbi Chanan, a situation like this. I'm actually not a dying. But let's say somebody is a dying, and he learns the sugya, like he's supposed to learn the sugya, and after learning the sugya, he determines that the halacha should be like Rebbe. Well, after he learns the sugya, he paskins like Rabbanan. So that, the Gemara is teaching us, Oska Devi Rebbe Oska Devi Chacham Masa. But let's say somebody did just the opposite. He doesn't know. He didn't learn the sugya, and he doesn't know. So he just flips a coin and decides, I'm going to pass him like Rebbe. I'm going to pass him like Rabbanan. That's not what the Gemara means. So ask Rabbi Chanan, what should he do? You know, who could be so confident in himself to know what to do? That he knows that Rebbe is 100% correct. It's machlokes tanan. Who could be so strong? So let's say most dayanim, I certainly, if I were a dayan, wouldn't be comfortable in saying that I know who's right, Rebbe or the Rabbanan. So what do you do? So Chanan quotes his father-in-law. He writes his father-in-law's name was Rameir Atlas. And he says what his father-in-law says is that if you're in a situation that you don't know what to do, to pass him like Rebbe or Rabbanan, you should follow all the other halachas, all the other rules of Dinei Mamonis that we've encountered. Hamech Mechaver Olav Araya, according to Samchas, Mamon Amot B'Safek Cholkim, all the other various halachas of Dinei Mamonis. But our Gemara is referring, says Rabbi Chanan, to an individual who's confident that he knows what the Paschal like. Why is Rabbi Bar Chana saying this? Says the Gemara. And there's a machlokes Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Throughout Shas, we have a rule, halacha k'Rebbe mechaveray. That certainly if Rebbe is arguing with an individual, we follow the opinion of Rebbe. Halach k'Rebbe mechaveroi, v'loi mechaverof. We don't paskin like Rebbe when he's arguing against many people because he remains a das yochid. However, mesapkele, Rav Chi is not so sure. Perhaps, I halach k'Rebbe mechaveroi, v'loi mechaverof. We only agree with Rebbe's opinion when he's arguing with another individual. Or perhaps we even follow Rebbe's psak, halach k'Rebbe mechaveroi, v'afilo mechaverof. And therefore, it could be we follow Rebbe's psak, even in this circumstance. So there's a machlokes Rishonim how to understand the Gemara. The Rashbam says that this question that the Gemara is saying, which we have, how far do we follow the psak of Rebbe, is in every situation that there's a machloikis which Rebbe is involved in, the Gemara is not, and even there's a rabbin that argue against him, it could be we follow the opinion of Rebbe. That's how the Rajbam learns. Taisus says, nobody thinks that. To say that every time Rebbe says an opinion, we're always going to follow his opinion no matter what, is a little too much. What the Gemara means to say is that even though normally, certainly, we don't follow Rebbe's psak when he's arguing against the rabbim, but there may be exceptions to that rule. And perhaps this is an exception to the rule. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, but Rav Nachman Rav has a different opinion. He says, one may not follow Rebbe's opinion. Why? Because he is of the opinion that there's no question. We only follow Rebbe's opinion when he's arguing against one person. So here, since the Chachamim argue on Rebbe, we certainly follow the opinion of Rebbe Rabbonim. Rav Nachman the day Amar, Mutalasis Kedivir Rebbe. He says you're allowed to follow Rebbe's opinion because he is of the opinion, he holds that there's no question that certainly Ksav Alok Rebbe Mechaveroi, we always follow Rebbe's opinion, and again, the Machlokes of Tosfos and the Rajbam will come into play here. Is it only in this case, as Tosfos says, or is it in all areas of Halacha that Rav Nachman says that we always follow the opinion of Rebbe? Amar Rava, also lasses to give a Rebbe, one shouldn't follow Rebbe's opinion. From also, but if somebody did follow that opinion, Asui, but the evidence acceptable. Why? Kasavar matanitma. He learns that when we say, this is the way the Rajbam explains the Gemara, that when we say, Halach k'rebi mechaveiroi v'loi mechaveirov, it's not to mean that we're so perfectly sure that the rabbin is the halacha. It's probably that way. So certainly, if you come and ask a rav what to do, the Rav should tell you to follow the opinion of the Chachamim. But if a Bezdin, or a Rav, passed him like Rebbe, we have no right to demand that they retract the Psak, because it's not absolute that we should follow the opinion of the Rabbanon. It's only probably, Martin, we tilt in that direction, but we're not positive in that direction. Says the Gemara, Tana Rav Nachman Shas Sifri Debei Rav. Rav Nachman taught us in the Shas Sifri Debei Rav. The Rajbam goes into a lengthy explanation that we know that the brises of the different chumashim have different names. Sifri, Sifra, Mechilta. Shas Sifri Debei Rav refers to the brises on Sefer Bamidbar. The pasuk says, B'chor Hashim Matzaloi, that the B'chor is entitled to a double portion in whatever the father had when he passed away. Prat l'shvach shishbichu yorshim l'achem mitzvah saviyim. That if the yorshim invested in the estate after the father passed away, in that the bechor is not entitled to a double portion. Av l'shvach shishbichu nechosim l'achem mitzvah saviyim. If they got more valuable without any investment, that, says the Braisa, the bechor is entitled to a double portion. Whose opinion is this? Mani. This is the opinion of Rebbe. Because Rebbe, as we've been learning, has a broader application of the double share that the Bechor is entitled to. However, says the Gemara, Tani Ram Becham B'Shasif the Beirav, he has a different version of the Braisa. Bechor Shi Matzaloi, Perat Shishvach Shishifu Nechosim Lakam Yisraviyam. If the estate, if those assets accrued in value after the father's passing, even if they accrued without any investment, and certainly if an investment was required, the loy shakel. Under those circumstances, the bechor is not entitled to double portion. Because this braisa holds that the only assets that the bechor is entitled to a double portion in are assets that are actually there at the moment of death. Whose opinion is this? Mani, Rabbanim. It represents the opinion of Rabbanim. Amar Yehuda Mishmu. Ein Bechor Noito Pishnayim B'milva. The Bechor is not entitled to a double portion in a milva, in receivables that are owed to the father. Ask the Gemara, who is Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel speaking about? According to whose opinion is he saying this din? Laman, ilema l'rabbanon. If we're saying that he's saying it according to Rabbanon, we need to understand. Hash the shifchad isib rishusay. The father left over assets. They're right there. Yet, they go up in value after the father's death. Amri Rabbanon, lo shakol. Still, the Bechor, according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, is not entitled to a double portion. Milva. So, a receivable, a debt, which wasn't physically there at the moment of death. Beboyi, do we need to learn that the Bechor is not entitled to a double portion? So, the Gemara, Elul Rebbe. It must be that it's teaching us that even though Rebbe, as we have been learning, has this broader application, a broader definition of what the Pishnayim of Bechor is entitled to, he's not entitled to a Pishnayim in the Melva. Ask the Gemara, Valhod Tanya, we learned the Naman Aleph, the Brisa says, we didn't learn Naman Aleph, we learned this concept, Yosh Shtar Choyv. If they got a Shtar Choyv, Bechor Noitel Pishnayim, the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. Bein B'Melva, Bein B'Ribis, whether he gets Pishnayim, both in the Milva and in the Ribbis, we need to understand who will this Bryce be following, Loi Rebbe, for Loi Rabbanon. Because now we're saying that even Rebbe agrees that a Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim in a Milva. Now, a number of points. One question that we showed him asked is that in Amen Aleph, we differentiated between a Milva B'Ksav and Milva B'Alpeh. And we suggested, with the Rajbam's Pshat, that a Milva B'Alpeh, even Rebbe will agree that the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim. So why don't we just say that this Gemara is talking about a Milva, Rabbi Hud, this din that Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel spoke about as a Milva Alpeh. And that's why Rebbe will agree he doesn't get Pishnayim. So some Rishonim indeed used this Gemara as a Raya, that Rebbe doesn't differentiate between Milva B'Ksav, Milva Alpeh, not like the Rajbam. Others say, Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel's wording, that he doesn't get Pishnayim B'Milva, seems to be speaking about both. And that's why we can't give this Teretz. So the Braisa says, there's no Pishnayim Bein Milva Bein Beribis. How can you take Pishnayim Beribis? An interest. Rinteris is awesome. So there are two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach is, it's money that's owed from a goy. You're allowed to take interest from a goy. Another approach in the Rishonim is that when we learned the Sechba Metziah, there were numerous situations that were called Avak Ribis. Avak ribis is essentially ribis to Rabbanon. That the halacha is you're not allowed to take avak ribis. You're not allowed to lend money or borrow money with avak ribis. But by the evid, you're allowed to take it. And that's what happened over here, that a shtar was written with avak ribis. You shouldn't have done it, but you're allowed to collect it. Now ask them our money. Loi Rebbe v'loi Rabbanon. Now we're saying that even Rebbe says that you don't get pishnayim by a milva, so who will this Bryce's opinion reflect? Answers the Gemara Olam Rabbanon. This price reflects the opinion of the Rabbanon. Vitzrich. Sakda Tachamina Milva Kiv the Nakut Shtoro. By a Milva, since it's a Shtar. So I command the Gav Yudavi. And therefore the Rabbanon will agree that's considered Muchsik, Kamash Malon, that it's not. We'll stop here.